heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's hard to imagine that beheadings are now in the news, including the beheadings of four Iraqi Christian children. Told by ISIS fighters to renounce their faith, their response was, "No. We love Jesus. We have always loved Jesus. We have always followed Jesus. And Jesus has always been with us." The Reverend Canon Andrew White, head of the only Anglican church in Iraq, said, "They chopped their heads off." How do you respond to that? You just cry. Or consider the mass executions, the Taliban slaughter of 141 at a school in Pakistan, including shooting the children methodically in the head, or kidnappings like the 200 school children in Nigeria by Boko Haram. Most of the girls will never be seen by their families again. One can only imagine the fate that awaits them. Or I was thinking today about Polycarp, the disciple of the Apostle John, who, martyred for his faith, said before he died for 86 years, "I have been his servant and he has never done me wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" Those words uttered in the second century with Asia awash in persecution. Persecution has always been with God's people, Jesus himself saying, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But leaving aside for a moment the question of Muslim atrocities against Christians, remember the other side of the coin. The Crusades are painfully and permanently inscribed in Muslim memory. The colonial period, during which Western nations occupied about 90% of the Muslim world, has left the Muslim psyche with a deep sense of shame and humiliation. In the book Islam, What You Must Know, Don Curry writes about this. The feeling on the part of Islam for revenge, for atrocities to be, well, avenged. Above all else, they remember the loss of Jerusalem to the Jews in 1967 after more than 1,300 years of possession, and that rankles daily in Muslim minds. I in particular remember hearing about this over and over again at the University of Tehran in Alma-Tabetaba when I was there a few years ago. And that, of course, is being blamed on the Christian West because of the creation of the State of Israel in 1948, perceived as the greatest sin ever committed against humanity. And so we need to remember, when seeking to witness to Muslims, that we're working in an atmosphere that has been poisoned by the memories of these and more recent Muslim casualties. And thus it is only by the grace of God that we have as much opportunity as we do to work with Muslims. If we exhibit any form of cultural superiority, of religious triumphalism, or selective amnesia concerning the sins of the West, perceived by many Muslims as being Christian sins, we only make matters worse. More to the point, Muslims do not tolerate the denigration of Islam as a religion or slurs against its founder, Muhammad. All of this to say that working with Muslims calls for an especially sensitive and informed approach. And therefore, it is all important for Christians to know something about how to approach Muslims. Because our goal is always to reach as opposed to repel. Again, one more reason that Islam, What You Should Know, the book available to you for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute all this month, is a must read. Many very insightful articles, information that's so critical for us to understand. And remember, as I said on yesterday's broadcast, Islam is not a monolith, it is multifaceted. In addition to the book, a couple of articles we've been talking about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And The Rise of the American Jihadist, both by Dr. David Wood. All three resources are a way of saying thank you as you support our work around the world. Only when life soon will be past, only what's done for Christ will last. As always, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, is numerically 888-275-4265. You can continue calling throughout the hour, and I'll be taking your calls, providing answers. And remember, the answers are not meant to win arguments, but meant to use as an opportunity to communicate the truth claims of the historic Christian faith. First up today, Kevin in West Virginia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Let me just preface this by saying I do have the book on the Islam that you're offering. I'm very familiar with Dr. Wood's material, and it's a great help in my study of Islam and being able to present that to Christians to know more the truth of what that religion believes. Hmm. My question is not of all of that vein. I'm in a situation here where I am several months away from finishing my degree in ministry. I've been out of work for about 6 months, and I've been offered a job running a movie theater while I finish my education. And I've been told by members of my church that that would totally destroy my testimony, and that there wouldn't be really any room left for me to be in the ministry after taking such a hideous job. And on the other hand, I've had several tell me that it's a right mission field. And I just wanted to, with everything that that I'm coming with, I can't see anything that's particularly, from a biblical standpoint, to really weigh more on one side of that or the other. And I just wanted to get your take on that.
Well, I think the two responses you got are a good indication that this should be a matter of conscience for you. I think it is an overreach or an overstatement to say that it would utterly destroy your testimony. Your testimony is your testimony wherever you are. And we do live in the world. We cannot extract ourselves from the world, nor would we want to. What we want to do is be salt and light wherever we are. But I ultimately consider this a matter of conscience. I can see the other side of the coin, although overstated by some of the people talking to you. The other side of the coin is that, yeah, movie theaters are places where the vast majority of what you watch is not only in consonant with the biblical worldview, in conflict with it, but you know, highly dangerous in terms of what is being communicated. I have gone to movies, and the movies are good movies by all standards, or movies that are issues that I need to be informed on, whether it's a movie like Exodus, which I'm going to answer questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and then I watch the trailers, and almost embarrassed to be in the movie theater with some of my kids watching this trailer. So it is certainly a very difficult situation, but I don't think that this question can ultimately be answered by anyone except by you as a matter of conscience. And I would not absolutely rule out the possibility that you could be used in that situation as salt and light. So I don't like either of the extreme positions. This is a matter of conscience.
Well, I really appreciate that, Hank. And I just really wanted to get your take on that, and I appreciate that. And I thank you for the answer. And again, I thank you for all the information that you make available to us as far as Islam and Dr. Wood's work. And just thank you for all that. And just wanted to say it's very appreciated.
Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot for your call. And I pray that God really blesses your ministry.
Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Linda, Raleigh, North Carolina. WPJL. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
Good. That's fine. Yes, I do apologize. I'm kind of new at this. It's my first time ever calling to you. But the question that I had to ask is, when in the Bible God said that some people he foreknew and that he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, does that mean that all people that aren't among those foreknown or predestined and those whose hearts are not touched to accept Jesus as Savior are doomed to be lost? So those that don't accept him easily, you know, as children should do, as Jesus commands us to, were they already lost from the beginning?
Well, I don't believe in fatalistic determinism. Fatalistic determinism is something that is proffered by systems of thought like philosophical naturalism, where you are fatalistically destined by virtue of your brain chemistry and genetics. And I also don't hold to the fact that because God knows or foreknows what is going to happen, that what happens is fatalistically determined. I think our wills do play a role. We don't have morally neutral wills, but we do have wills. So when Calvin says that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man, and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it, I have to simply say I disagree. God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they should turn from their wicked ways and repent. The scriptures tell us that explicitly. So my view is that we are not fatalistically determined, that the Holy Spirit woos us. We can either repent in light of the wooing or reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, I think the Apostle Paul makes plain in Romans 1, 2, and 3 that we are given first the light of creation, that God's eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made, and therefore we are without excuse. We also have a knowledge of God written on the canvas of our consciousness. So a way of saying in Romans 1 and 2 that we have the light of creation, the light of conscience, and if we respond to that, we may partake of the light of Christ. Jesus said, I've come as light. And to Nicodemus, he pointed out that light has come into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The Bible tells us that God loves those who love him, and those who diligently seek him will find him. Pascal was right. God dwells in enough light so that if we want to find him, we will. Conversely, dwells in enough obscurity such that if we do not want to find him, we won't. But I do not think that people are fatalistically determined. I don't hold to theistic fatalism, which is a view that is certainly acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy, but I don't hold to it. I grew up, by the way, in that kind of a Christian context, and as a result, walked away from the faith for a long time. So it's not my point of view, but it is a point of view that is held by many Christians, including those who go under the rubric of Calvinism. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special offer of the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus Dr. David Wood's article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And The Rise of the American Jihadist, will help you understand the real Islam. To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents, and the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or call 888-7000-CRI. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org, equip.org. Dr. David Wood notes in Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up, given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect. For valuable and timeless insights into Islam and the need of Christians to better understand the theology driving ISIS and other jihadist movements, don't miss Islam, What You Must Know, the best of the Christian Research Journal. To say thanks for your gift, Hank Hanegraaff will also send you an issue of the Christian Research Journal, as well as an article on the rise of the American jihadist. To receive the book, magazine issue, and special article, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now with more of the answers you need today, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Right back to our phone callers. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically is 888-275-4265. Paul next, Durham, North Carolina, WCRU. Hi, Paul.
Yes, sir. I was flipping the channels the other day, and I came across an interesting discussion that you were having about the Hebrew Israelites. And I thought that you called them races. Please correct me if I heard you incorrectly. But if that is the case, my question is, since you kind of, if you did say that, threw a disparaging remark out about a religion that few people actually know about, have you ever debated anyone who practices or expert on that particular religious faith?
Yeah, I'm glad you called about that. I did say that they can often be racist. I also pointed out that Black Hebrew Israelites is an umbrella term that comprises a large number and variety of groups that are not monolithic, but rather multifaceted. So there's some very clear and I think correct qualifications that I made. But for those that believe that they are literal Israelites or literal descendants of the promise, I think there is a real problem involving racism in the sense that God does not determine people on the basis of their genealogy, being able to trace their lineage back to ancient Israel. That's not the point. The point is not your genealogy, your ethnicity, whether you're Black or whether you're white. The point is, are you a follower of Yahweh, the God of Israel, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ? And if you are, then you're true Israel. So Ruth the Moabite, who was the arch enemy of Israel, is true Israel not because of her lineage prior to following Yahweh, the God of Israel, but because of her belief in Yahweh, the God of Israel. So it has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with relationship. And quite frankly, as I've said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Peter, the great apostle, suffered from that same problem until God showed him a vision. And after he saw the vision, he then said, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So race is of no consequence whatsoever to God.
Right. However, I have to say this. When the Hebrew Israelites are portrayed as white, and Moses is portrayed as looking like Charlton Heston, there's really no discussion about race in that context. What we have to realize is that many of the Black liberation religions or Black liberation theology is a reaction to the fact.
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
For many years, we were given that white image of the Messiah, which you would admit is not historically correct.
That's right, I would, and I would say two wrongs don't make a right. I am
right.
Opposed to racism of any kind, of any sort, and particularly racism that is justified under the rubric of religion, or more specifically, Christianity. And I have made that clear on many occasions. I am very clearly communicating that I find racism of any kind detestable.
But see, there's a difference between racism and a religious perspective. You can find no history to any great degree of Hebrew Israelites lynching white people. However, for Christians, you can find various amounts of documents.
Right, but you're seeing racism as a black-white issue, and certainly
was. The Ku Klux Klan, as a matter of fact, was a Christian organization, but you wouldn't want anybody saying that all Christians, or even insinuating that Christianity was racist based on the actions of a Christian organization like the Ku Klux Klan, would you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I think what the Ku Klux Klan stands for is deplorable. I also think what the Nation of Islam, founded by Wallace Fard, is deplorable.
That the whites
were grafted into existence 7,000 years ago by a scientist named Dr. Yaqob. I mean, the point is, I don't care whether it's the Ku Klux Klan or the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam. I don't care. You know, if it's racist, it's racist. And what I'm pointing out is that Christianity, by its very nature, cannot be racist, because it is not about race, it is about relationship. And to look at another person as somehow or other inferior or having a more heightened status because of their race, I think simply militates against the biblical worldview.
Well, I'm not in the Nation of Islam, but I will again pose that question. If you're comparing them with the Ku Klux Klan, you cannot find any...
No, I'm not making any comparisons here. What I'm saying is I find racism detestable, whether it is racism as personified in the Ku Klux Klan or racism as personified by the Nation of Islam.
Right,
either case, I find it deplorable.
Right, but how many people have the Ku Klux Klan lynched as compared to the Nation of Islam?
What is the point of the question? And base, here's what the Ku Klux Klan says.
I didn't say what they said. I said what they did.
Okay, well, let's go then to the Nation of Islam. You seem to be an expert on the Ku Klux Klan. Let me say something about the Nation of Islam.
I am.
The Nation of Islam says that Christianity is a white man's religion, that Jesus is not God in human flesh. They deny the afterlife. They say that Allah had sex with Mary and produced Jesus Christ. I mean, these are all perversions. But for me to say that Christianity is a white man's religion, no. Christ was not white, and nor did Christ have any sense that he came as a parochial Jewish Messiah. He came so that the gospel might go out to the far reaches of the world. So the idea of race in any sense, racism in any sense, where we look at another human being as being less than we are because they have either more or less pigmentation or different color eyes or different color hair, is simply deplorable wherever that racism comes from. But I'm saying that if racism is communicated in the guise or in the garb of religion, it becomes even more pernicious. And therefore, to say that God chooses people based on their lineage or genealogy, I think, is a horrible thing to do.
Did not the founders of this country believe that God chose them as free white men to dominate, to rule the United States? That's in the history books. This country was founded by those who believed in white superiority. So if that is the guise and if that's critique that you're using for racism, then George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and all of them were racist.
Well, my friend, I just... used a biblical example. I am a huge fan of the Apostle Peter. I read the Bible. I memorize the words of the Apostle Peter. I have been instructed by the words of the Apostle Peter. I recognize that he wrote epistles inspired by the precious Holy Spirit himself. And yet, I was willing to acknowledge that in Acts, Peter himself recognizes that he was calling unclean what God had called clean, that he was not willing to go see Cornelius because Cornelius was a Gentile until God accosted him, as it were, with a vision that was given to him three times, and after the third time, he finally realized that he had been caught in a trap of not wanting to go to a particular man because he was a Gentile. And through that illustration, I was pointing out that in biblical theology, it has nothing to do with being able to trace your lineage back to a certain ethnic group. And that is why I have a real problem with Black Hebrew Israelites who make a claim that they are the literal descendants of ancient Israel and therefore heirs to a promise. I think that feeds into racism, but I will criticize racism in whatever form I happen to see it, because racism has nothing whatsoever to do with authentic Christianity.
Now, do you have a problem with the white Jews who claim that they are of the lineage?
What did I just say? I answered that question directly such that there's no need to even ask that question.
Right.
I couldn't be more explicit.
White Zionism as well.
I have problem. I absolutely. And I've written about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because my thing is, I think that we have to be careful when we start throwing terms like racism out there.
Well, I think we need to be careful about racism in general. But you know what? When racism rears its ugly head, for me to look the other way and say I don't see it, and therefore I'm not going to acknowledge it, or if someone asks me about it, to simply obfuscate, is shirking my responsibility. God has given me a platform, and because he's given me that platform, I'm never going to be politically correct. That's not the point, because my ultimate account is going to be given to an audience of one. I'm going to stand before God and give an account for what I did with the platform he gave me. And the Bible makes it clear, let not many of you be teachers, because with teaching there is a stricter judgment. And believe me, I come into this studio every single day that I do the broadcast with fear and trembling for that very reason. I've been doing this show for many decades now. I've been doing it since 1988, and I have never come into the studio yet without a real sense of reverence for the platform, because what I say, I will be held accountable for. But what I've said, with the qualifications that I communicated to you on the outset of the answer to your question, what I said, I stand by. And I think I'm going to have to leave it at that. Back in a moment.
For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of jihadist atrocities. To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book, Islam, What You Must Know, as well as an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring an article titled, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? And given how critical this topic is, Hank will include a special article on the rise of the American jihadist. The book, magazine issue, and special article are our gift in appreciation for your support today of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Understand authentic Islam. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more
right after this. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. In response to the recent Charlie Hebdo shootings in Paris, Howard Dean, former governor of Vermont, stated, "I stopped calling these people Muslim terrorists. They're about as Muslim as I am. I think ISIS is a cult, not an Islamic cult. I think it's a cult." Is Dean trying to paint a politically correct, warmer, kinder picture of Islam? What's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff's special equipping package will help you understand the real Islam. It includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, plus a special article on the rise of the American jihadist and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Having spoken at the University of Tehran in Iran, Hank Hanegraaff is increasingly motivated to ensure that Bible Answer Man listeners receive credible information concerning Islam. For this reason, Hank has put together a special equipping package, which includes the book, Islam, What You Must Know, the Best of the Christian Research Journal. And in addition to a special article on the rise of the American jihadist by Dr. David Wood, this offer also includes an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this equipping package as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A reminder that the book that you just mentioned, Islam, What You Must Know, also includes an article titled Hate Begotten of Hate, Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. The underlying premise of the Nation of Islam, to uplift the self-esteem and pride of the black community, was noble, but its radical methodology and politics have always limited its influence in mainstream America. And therefore, in the article, we are reminded of not only the historical rise to power of the ideas of Black Islam in America, but also we receive a warning that the seeds of the rhetoric of rage can and still do germinate in a season of their own choosing. The article instructive in and of itself, but again, as mentioned in the last segment, racism has no place in Christian thought. God does not choose people on the basis of race, but rather on the basis of relationship. I've written about this in many different places, including in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. And the reason I wrote about it in that particular book is because there are people like John Hagee who have this racist notion that Jerusalem is only for Jews, so that God somehow or other is not only a racist that cares about your genealogy, but a land broker. And such is simply not the case. God does not pick people on the basis of their race, of their genealogy, of whether they can trace their lineage back to ancient Israel, as the Black Israelites would have you think. This has nothing whatsoever to do with biblical truth. Biblical truth does not underscore race. Again, it underscores relationship. And the examples of that biblically are myriad. I mean, you think about people saying that Christianity is a white man's religion. Think about James. James is carried away in the Spirit by the Lord, or I should say Philip is carried away by the Spirit, and he is now finding himself witnessing to an Ethiopian eunuch. And as a result, the Ethiopian eunuch is baptized. This is in the embryonic stages of the early Christian church. So where is the seedbed of Christianity? You find it with the gospel going via the Ethiopian eunuch to Africa. And so there's no geographic limitations to the gospel. The followers of Jesus Christ were told to leave Jerusalem and to inhabit the earth, to go out to Judea and Samaria and to the far reaches of the earth with the good news of the gospel, not making distinctions between people on the basis of their ethnicity, their genealogy, their race, if you will. You know, bottom line, we're all part of the human race. If you want racism, you can find it in all kinds of places, including in a very dominant theology that permeates Western educational institutions, teaching the evolutionary paradigm, lauding Charles Darwin and his bulldog, Thomas Huxley, who said that blacks would not succeed very well in competition for survival against whites because whites had bigger brains, and therefore they would successfully compete against those who had smaller brains. But this is not part of the Christian ethic. That's an evolutionary paradigm in which there's a gradation of races or survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. We don't find that in a Christian worldview. In a Christian worldview, we look at one another at the foot of the cross without any prejudice whatsoever. It is a horrible thing to think that we would look at another human being created in the Imago Dei in any other way. We all have the Imago Dei, and that makes all the difference in the world. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Mike in Los Angeles, California, listening on the web. Hi, Mike.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering, why is Lucifer called, Lucifer, I think in Latin or something like that, it's actually light or something. Is actually Lucifer trying to, trying to be kind of like the light, I guess?
Well, the term Lucifer actually comes not from the original Hebrew, but rather from a translation of Jerome's Vulgate, and a shining one, morning star, star of the morning are all acceptable translations of the Hebrew text. And the prince of darkness does not present himself in his naked deformity. If he did, none of us would buy what he has to sell. Rather, he presents himself as an angel of light or an angel of enlightenment.
Okay, I understand, kind of. Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. And I think that maybe Jesus Christ was trying to tell us something with that, you know?
Well, Jesus Christ, you know, what's you're making a very astute observation. I think oftentimes what we find in the Bible is what's called parody. So the beast is a parody of the lamb. The morning star, in terms of Satan, is also a parody of the bright and morning star, Jesus Christ. There are parodies, and certainly the Prince of Darkness is a parody of the Prince of Light.
Uh-huh. Okay, but I still don't understand. How is that even possible?
Well, I mean, it's possible because Satan masquerades. He wants you to think that what he is offering is enlightened. And if you seek after the empty baubles that he is presenting to the world, that you will find fulfillment. Instead, when you encounter those empty baubles, they dissipate. And they're shown for what they are, but this is what the world searches after, those things that do not satisfy. I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, after watching the Super Bowl, although I very much enjoyed watching it with my family, one of the things that I could not help but see is at the end the utter adulation of the Vince Lombardi trophy. It was treated with a reverential awe. And certainly it's a great accomplishment. I'm not minimizing that whatsoever or minimizing what people have to go through as a team to achieve the apex in sport. But what Paul says is they labor for a wreath that fades or perishes. We labor for something that is enduring. So the things offered by Jesus Christ are those things that have real substance, that bring real peace, as opposed to those things offered by the world.
Oh, so that's kind of the same concept, I guess.
That is the same concept, yes.
Oh, yeah, that is the same concept. I understand. Well, I think that is very... paradoxical, maybe?
Well, you're kind of getting the idea, yes. Parody?
Okay.
Yeah, paradoxical? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm
saying.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Okay. I don't understand.
Well, do understand. Wow. I mean, I think you understand a whole lot better than you think you do, because you actually made the wise comments in the prologue to your question that led me to my explanation.
Wow, I know, exactly. I'm really surprised by this because, I mean, like, I never thought about it that way, you know, like, so what is the purpose of what is Satan trying to do? What is the purpose?
Well, I mean, think about the context of the passage that you are alluding to. It's found in Isaiah chapter 14. Where you read the words of Isaiah, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I'm going to ascend to the heavens. I'm going to raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself the most high. So Satan has always wanted to usurp the prerogatives of divinity, and in deluded madness thinks that he deserves the worship that can be afforded only to God, who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, who himself created Lucifer, star of the morning. So the distance between the Creator and all created things, including Lucifer and people, is an unbridgeable chasm. The beauty in the Christian faith, however, is that as human beings, we can take on the nature of divinity by taking on the nature of Christ. That does not mean we can be worshipped by God, or that we become God as God is in the Godhead, but we do become partakers, as Peter said, of the divine nature by partaking of the means of grace. First of all, through baptism, as we enter into a kingdom as participants of Christ in the consummation of all things. So we are consummators, in a sense, of a kingdom that's been inaugurated by Jesus Christ, and ultimately, in the end, by being those that are clothed with his righteousness, not only in time, but also for all eternity. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Lens Man broadcast. I probably should have mentioned this earlier, but I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. If you're hanging on, please do be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in for the next hour, just dial 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Taking your calls for the next hour.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. President Obama said, "Let's make two things clear. ISIL is not Islamic. No religion condones the killing of innocents. And the vast majority of ISIL's victims have been Muslim. And ISIL is certainly not a state. ISIL is a terrorist organization, pure and simple." How accurate is this politically correct, warmer and kinder picture of Islam? To help you get a better understanding of the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff has put together an equipping package which includes the book Islam, What You Must Know, a special article on the rise of the American jihadist, and an issue of the Christian Research Journal featuring the article, Will the Real Islam Please Stand Up? To receive this offer as our thank you for your gift today, go online at equip.org and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or call 888-7000-CRI. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species.
To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.